From UBN, the United Broadcasting Network, it's the Jerry Hughes Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thank you very, very much for allowing us to share this time with you. What in the world is a right girl? Just exactly, what is a right girl? Is a right girl right of center in politics? Does she believe in the right things? Or are we talking about the right girl like Dad said to find? Well, we're going to talk about right girls this hour, and we're going to talk with one of the founders of an organization, or actually a website, if you will, called Right Girl, Women with the Right Attitude. Well, I think you're going to find it quite interesting, quite informative, and quite unique. Carolyn Gargaro is one of the Right Girl founders, and we're very, very pleased that she would take time from her day to join us this hour. Ma'am, thank you very, very, very much for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Hope your holidays have gone well for you.
Yeah, fine.
Good, good. We have spoken, I think, at least once previously, and a lot of times, first, let's do this. We'll start at the beginning, as they say. First, tell me, what in the world is a right girl?
Basically, a right girl is someone who leans to the right politically and who is pro-life and not afraid to speak about it.
So she would be, generally speaking, she would be considered right of center politically then?
Yes.
That would probably mean that she would not be the greatest supporter of Bill Clinton, perhaps?
In most cases, not. We do have some right girls who are somewhat supportive of him in some aspects, but on the whole, where most right girls I've run into haven't really been too thrilled with him.
Ostracize those crazy women from the organization. Now, when we also talk about right girl, a right girl doesn't necessarily have to follow any stereotypical pattern she might find other things or other aspects of life that might not be considered right of center.
Correct.
Other than politics.
Right.
So it pretty well runs the gamut. You say women with a right attitude. And of course, the right attitude does not have to be defined specifically as political. Now, what made you decide that this was something that was necessary for women for the 90s?
Well, Stephanie, the other person who developed the site with me, and I ran into each other online, and what we found out from surfing around the internet is there didn't seem to be a lot of conservative women's sites or sites that were geared specifically towards conservative women. Mm-hmm. The ones that were, if there were, you know, there weren't very many, seemed to be very stereotypical conservative. Not that that's bad, but it seemed to be just very, straightforward conservative and very unique in any way. And so we wanted to have a site where women from all walks of life who might be politically conservative could kind of get together and share ideas and speak out about them. Mm-hmm. There's no age. I mean, it says it's girl, but we have right girls who are anywhere from 15 to 50. They have a variety of interests. And so that's what we were trying to focus on, that being politically conservative doesn't mean that you have to fit a stereotype,
right,
which a lot of people seem to think.
So while right girls may share some of the same concerns as organizations, for instance, like Eagle Forum and Phyllis Schaffner's organization, you might also have different concerns.
Right. A lot of Right Girl isn't a religious site. A lot of the right girls have, you know, varying religions, but
right,
that's one area that we don't focus on because
okay,
that wasn't what we wanted to get into, because
okay,
we think that's like a whole different area. And we found that a lot of the conservative sites also focused on religion, which isn't bad. I mean, that's great, but that's something that we just didn't really want to focus on.
Right. Now, how has the website, which by the way is just www.rightgirl.com, and it's RightGirl, I believe, .com?
Yep, that's right.
Rightgirl, RightGirl.com. How has it been received?
So far, we've had a really good reception. I mean, obviously, we have some people who really don't disagree with us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who really don't agree with us,
right,
I should say. But we've had a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people have emailed us and said, oh, your site is just what I've been looking for. I've been trying to find a site that really, you know, spoke to me or where I could share my views and things like that. I really hadn't found one until I found Right Girl. So we've been very happy with that. It seemed to really hit on an area that wasn't focused on the internet a whole lot. So we're happy with the feedback we've gotten.
Looking at one of the pages on the website now, it says, in other words, a Right Girl fails to support the limiting stereotypes put upon those of us who simply refuse to buy into the pro-choice liberal feminist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
We don't purport to enjoy a forced, implausible feminist bond to other women simply because we all support gender equity. pretty straightforward.
Yep.
which probably would mean that you're not on the Christmas card list of the NOW organization.
No, not really. We didn't send them one this year.
And you probably didn't receive one from them either, huh?
No, not.
Now, what part or what role do politics play in the average life of the average white girl? Is it an important situation, or is it just one of many important things?
Depends on the person. We have some white girls who politics are very much part of their life. That's what they are into. That's what they spend a lot of their time doing. And some white girls are just have some political interests, but they don't really get into them on a day-to-day basis. So there's really a wide range of political activism within a white girl.
So that, too, would run the gambit then?
Yes.
All right. Let's pause for just a couple of minutes. And again, the website is WhiteGirl, WhiteGirl.com, all one word, lowercase, WhiteGirl.com. And we will continue with our guest. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number, 1-800-825-5937, toll free across the U.S. of A. We'll continue on the Jerry Hughes program from the United Broadcasting Network. WhiteGirl.com, our telephone number, 1-800-825-5937, toll free across the U.S. of A. And we're talking with a white girl, ladies and gentlemen, and it is WhiteGirl, WhiteGirl.com at the website. Carolyn Gargaro is with us. I'm noticing on your website you have a petition here, and it says, in fact, are you a woman outraged by Clinton's treatment of women? Let us know. Sign our petition. How many signatures thus far?
Almost 400.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously those who are signing it indeed are outraged by the president's behavior.
Yes, they are. And we weren't seeing a lot of outrage from women about this, and we think it's something that people should really be concerned about, so we wanted to focus on that.
If I might pick your brain in that regard, why do you think women have been so hesitant to speak out, or many women have, I should say, to speak out against the president, and in fact he has enjoyed the support of women across America to the degree that he has?
Well, I know I've been hearing from a lot of the feminist organizations, at least, that they seem to be looking the other way, and this is exactly what they've been saying on some of the talk shows. They said that he has had a good record on choice, and so that kind of overrides other things. Essentially, that's what they've been saying, that because he has, he is pro-choice, that for some reason that overrides any anti-woman actions he might be doing on the side, which doesn't really make any sense to me. But that's what a lot of, at least the mainstream feminist organizations seem to be saying that. And so that seems to be something that they use to excuse his behavior. Other women, I think, it might not be that issue specifically, but a lot of women seem to like his policies, and they like his policies enough that they're kind of willing to kind of like look the other way. Mm-hmm. And I think that has something to do with it, really, which is a shame.
You have a tremendous quote, and I must confess to you, this is the first time that I have seen the quote anywhere. And in many, it is extremely apropos. Bill Clinton, June 1996 speech, quote, "The other thing we have to do is take seriously the role in this problem of older men who prey on underage women. There are consequences to decisions, and one way or another, people always wind up being held accountable." Wow. So my words coming back to haunt somebody.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, you also, another interesting part of the WhiteGirl website is something called Now Watch. I'm assuming that is just exactly what the name implies.
Yes, we keep an eye a little bit on what's going on at the National Organization for Women.
And what are your thoughts in that regard? What are the thoughts? I realize, again, this is calling for stereotypical, but if we could put the WhiteGirl group in mass collective, so to speak, generally speaking, what are the thoughts of the WhiteGirls on Now?
We really don't favor their policies. They tend to be, for one thing, they say they're a women's organization, mm-hmm. but they don't seem to care about all women. In fact, right on their website, it says, "Fight the Radical Right," which means that if you're a right-leaning woman, they don't want to hear from you. They didn't want to hear from Paula Jones because she was favored, you know, she was supported by the radical right. So as for women's organizations, most right girls don't feel that it speaks, it's an organization that speaks for all women. In fact, you have to be a very specific woman to be accepted into the NOW organization. I mean, officially, they'll let probably anybody in, but they don't seem to support women unless they are liberal and pro-choice. So we don't think it's a very wide-reaching women's organization.
Why do you think that an organization like NOW would command so much of the attention and so much admissibility, let's say, or so much accessibility, perhaps would be a better word, to the media compared to a more conservative women's organization?
They just seem to be more louder now. I mean, they seem to have very good media relations. And so even though they're smaller than, say, Concerned Women for America, a conservative women's group, they're the ones that are called on, now is the one that is called on to speak for, on behalf of women. Mm-hmm. I guess because they're probably the most well-known. And so since they're most well-known and what a lot of the media seems to think as a group that speaks for the majority of women or represents the majority of women's views, that they're going to call on them first. Even though they might be smaller than some organizations.
Do you find that it is difficult for as a representative of Right Girl or for other representatives of Right Girl to gain the same media access that NOW organization participants would have?
Well, we're a much smaller group.
Certainly.
So, yes, I mean, we've been able to contact some media outlets, and we haven't really thought that we've had trouble because, you know, we're not liberal, but because we're just small. I mean, so we don't have the resources that they do.
Okay. And yet probably the actual active number of participants in NOW might not be near as large as we might imagine. Membership is one thing, but active participants, of course, is something else, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's go to our phones. And in Austin, Texas, listening in on the Internet, we have a gentleman online with us who just identified as Pro-Life Man. All right, Pro-Life Man, hello. Welcome.
Hi, Carolyn. Glad to meet you, finally.
Hi.
I posted on the Internet on Usenet to you and a couple of questions about gender, feminists, and power.
Okay. You're the one on the news group.
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Hi there. Just wanted to say I love your website. It's fantastic. And I was really thinking of you because I came across a web page that was just shocking and stunning. And it was a website called the Feminist Women's Health Center. I'm not kidding. Feminist Women's Health Center. And there was a terrible story of a young woman that had an abortion, and basically the long and short and the gist of the story was she was dumped by everyone, including the father of that child, and basically forced almost into the abortion. And then the persons who were running the page used that instead to say, this is the reason why abortion should be legal. And I kind of wanted to get your take on that, because having seen your site and having been very familiar with abortion myself, very sadly familiar with abortion myself, I can say that is exactly what is the common case scenario, that it's not a choice at all, that it's often comes under a pressure situation to get out of a pressure situation, or by coercion by someone else, mm-hmm. often the father of that child, where this happens. And in this website, took this tack that it was justifiable to have legalized abortion, and this was a good reason to have legalized abortion so that men don't have to pay.
You have an excellent point, and that is one thing that Stephanie and I have been screaming about a lot, is the fact that people think that abortion is pro-woman when you have an abortion because, you know, the guy doesn't take responsibility. Now, I'm not busting on all guys, because there are men out there who do take responsibility, mm-hmm. and I've met men who have not wanted their wife or girlfriend to abort, and they have anyway. But on the other hand, like you said, there are women out there who have had abortions because everybody looks at her, oh, you're pregnant, you got yourself pregnant, I don't want anything to do with you, and the man runs the other way. Everybody looks at the woman as if she got pregnant by herself.
Right.
And says, like, well, it's your problem, you got to take care of it. And so...
But see, that's why you can't have a mixed message. That's why you can't have a mixed message with legalized abortion framed unilaterally,
mm-hmm.
where the woman has the sole say and sole veto power.
Pro-Life Man and Carolyn Gargano, let's pause for just 2 minutes, and we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation here. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. We will continue with our guest on the Jerry Hughes Program from UBN. Carolyn Gargano, co-founder of Right Girl, www.rightgrl.com. Mike Internet is with us, and we're talking with a gentleman also conference in out of Austin, Texas. And the subject was abortion. Let me throw something to both of you. Is abortion passé now? Is it a situation that we have debated the issue to such an extent, and it has, some would say, divided us to such an extent that it's just it's no longer the importance that it once had?
No, it's abusive.
Carolyn?
I don't think it's a passé issue. What I do think people tend to be focusing on, though, now is, as it is now, abortion is still going to be argued, you know, on both sides, the same way it has been argued. What a lot of people are trying to do now is trying to find alternatives to abortion so that it's something that can make everybody happy. So perhaps there won't be a need to have an abortion. So if the woman can somehow prevent the pregnancy or there can be a better support system for her, abortion won't be as much of an issue. And a lot of people are trying to work on that.
Do either of you find it hypocritical or a hypocrisy in the sense that the Democrats are saying that the president has the support of the people and we should listen to the polls, that the American people did not want him removed from office, and yet the American people do not want partial birth abortion either?
Sure. Exactly. I've been asking people that same question when they talk about polls.
How about asking Mr. Clinton about the alleged abortion that he was involved with Jennifer Flowers?
Yeah.
How about asking him about that?
Yeah, exactly.
How about asking about when he allegedly, according to her, which is not something that women lie a lot about, dumped her pregnant? How about asking him that? Why he supports abortion rights?
Well, you know, of course, sir, that's the kind of things that the established media is not going to ask the President of the United States. And
that's the problem.
The alternative media don't get a chance, yeah. Excellent point. Sorry, thank you very much for calling and participating on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. You say this is a question that you have been asking, in fact, why the hypocrisy here?
Exactly. I mean, because everyone's saying, oh, the will of the people, we should go by the polls. They don't want this or they want this. And then you say, well, okay, then since most people don't want partial birth abortion based on polls, we should outlaw that, even though the president vetoed that. Oh, well, no, no, no. And then it doesn't make any sense. It's one way or the other. Either you base everything on polls or you don't. Obviously, I don't think we should base everything on polls because that's not how our country works. Mm-hmm. But
should the abortion issue, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about here, should the abortion issue in and of itself be the sole and determining factor of an individual's political ideology, philosophy, or partisanship?
Should that be the only?
There are some organizations out there, as you know, that if an individual is pro-life, don't care what the rest of them is about. If they're against abortion, don't care what the rest of them is about. It's a one-issue situation with a lot of people. Should that be?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously, I'm going to prefer a conservative candidate who's pro-life above one that's pro-choice. But you can't say that someone isn't politically conservative just because they're pro-choice, even though obviously I would prefer them to be pro-life, just as you can't say someone is not liberal if they're pro-life. I know lots of liberals who are very pro-life, but they are certainly not conservative in any other aspect of their political views. So I don't think you can really say that determines your political leanings.
So the abortion issue in and of itself should not be the determining factor as to how one votes just on that issue alone?
Well, it's up to each individual person how they want to vote. I mean, obviously, some people are going to make it that the primary issue, mm-hmm. and that's fine, and some people aren't going to. I guess it really just depends on the person. I can't really say that someone should vote just based on abortion. Mm-hmm. Some people do, some people don't.
Adam, let me do this. If Bill Clinton was very much pro-life, would you look at him the same way?
I'd look at him more favorably. I still wouldn't like most of his policies.
Hey, that's a great answer. All right. Carolyn Gargaro, let's pause for just about 3 minutes for our affiliates here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number. RightGirl, RightGrl.com is the website, and we will continue here on UBN. Carolyn Gargaro, co-founder of Right Girl, Women with an Attitude. The Right Attitude is online with us. RightGirl.com is their website. Let's conference in from Tucson, Arizona. KMRR, our affiliate in that beautiful city. Joseph, welcome to the program, sir.
Yes, Jerry, if you would, You had Steve Voss on earlier,
yes, sir.
And he was discussing his campaign to put ads on the radio nationwide,
right.
And addressing, you know, commercials, if you would, to President Clinton. I would suggest if your guest there, did she hear the previous hour? If she did, maybe she could join in with Steve Voss, and maybe as the group that she belongs to, they could address a letter to President Clinton in a child's voice, say a 14-year-old girl that was taken across the state line by a friend or neighbor or somebody, unbeknownst to the parents, to allow this child to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
In a child's voice, they could say, "Dear President Clinton, my parents are terribly upset with me. I was taken across the state line and had an abortion. I don't understand my parents' feelings, but maybe you could call them," mm-hmm. "or maybe you could write them a letter."
Okay. Joseph, thank you, sir. Excellent idea. The website for Steve Voss, who was almost in the previous hour, is stevevoss.com. Karen Gargaro, what our caller's talking about is a gentleman who is putting an ad campaign together that uses letters from children that talks about how children get into trouble for lying, and the children basically are asking the president to call their mom and dad and tell them that it's okay to do so. It's a pretty interesting little ad campaign, and is something that certainly some conservative groups are getting involved in, but you may wish to look at his website, stevevoss.com, if you have any interest in that regard. Excellent point, Joseph. Thank you. You are the website, I should say, follows many other things. We talked about the Now Watch, and we talked about the petition, but you also have your own resident expert, if you will, Sarah McPeak, who is a Gore Watcher.
Yes.
And that's under the heading of Algorithms. Tell us about that.
Well, each month she writes up a little article about some of the things that Al Gore does, and mm-hmm. most of the time it's something that's not the smartest thing to do, and she kind of keeps tabs on him for us, which is good because we don't all have time to keep tabs on him and everybody else, so she does that for us.
You have to wonder, where is the same media that used to be all over poor old Dan Quayle? Where are they with this guy?
I really don't know. He's made plenty of blunders, and which is natural in public life to do that, but if Dan Quayle said the same things or did some of the same things, they would be all over him, and they just kind of don't really follow what Al Gore does regarding that.
Now, you have other, as I say, many other things on the site, including book reviews and just a general line, if you will, or a chat room, I guess we could call it, or a news group. Is that right?
Yes. We have our own news group.
Now, how does that work for people who are not familiar with that, or people who perhaps have internet capability but have not gotten into the news group or the chat rooms? How does that work?
Well, if anyone who's familiar with a news group and how they work can get to alt.politics.reichel, our news group, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not familiar with it, there's a service called Dejan News, which we suggest to people at dejannews.com. There's also a link on our website to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just sign up there. It takes about a second. You get your own email address so you don't get spam from posting and everything. And you can then just search for our news group and post through that. And you don't have to set up your news server or anything like that. So we suggest that to people who aren't familiar with the news groups to go through that.
I'm just looking here at the counter. Gosh, you guys have almost well over 40,000 hits in just less than half a year, in fact, or roughly half a year. That's a lot of people who are logging on to the site. And I'm going to speculate that probably, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, most of them are probably women, or do you know?
Actually, judging by our mail, I think it's about 50-50. Our email,
okay.
We get a lot of email from guys who like our site, and we also get email from women, yeah.
Right. So it certainly would go across gender there.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys that really like our site, too, and they keep coming back.
Well,
so.
You have some pictures of very beautiful young ladies on there, and I'm sure that attracts a lot of young men, certainly. Let me ask you, also have an advisory group. Now, what do they do?
They help Stephanie and I make decisions. Sometimes we run into an issue, and we want to get their input on some issue regarding the site, whether someone applies to be a right girl and we're having trouble deciding on our application. And we ask these people for advice because they're very much into the conservative movement, and they're very knowledgeable on lots of issues. And so they basically help us out with tough issues that we might run into with the site.
Let me ask what might seem like a stupid question here. Is it more difficult, in your opinion, in the 90s here, for a woman to have as your website says, an attitude, the right attitude, than to have none at all, in the sense of just being the stereotypical homemaker that doesn't care about politics, doesn't care about political issues or moral issues beyond the impact of their own family. Is it more difficult for women today than it was in previous generations?
To not be involved with politics?
Just in general, in the sense if they are involved.
Is it more difficult if they are?
Does it make their life more difficult? Does it reduce their desirability, let's say, by men, and the fact that some men prefer women? We would hear the stereotypical ideology, perhaps, that women should just be seen and not heard.
Well, it depends really on the guy. I've met both. I've met some guys who are like, oh, I'd love hearing from, you know, outspoken women who are involved in issues. And then I've heard from other men who really don't think women should be involved in politics, and some men who don't even think women should vote. So there's a wide spectrum, I've found. But most guys I've run into are very open to having women be involved in politics and to speak their mind.
So the old notion of the old concept of a woman's place is in the home, barefoot and pregnant, is on the way out, you think?
Yeah, in some regards. I mean, if someone wants to stay home and or doesn't want to be involved in politics, I think she should be just as respected for that. But on the other hand, I think that if someone is opinionated and wants to be involved politically, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that she also gains acceptance on that also.
Now, I think last time you were with us, when you and Stephanie were both with us, we talked about, have either of you are among the advisory group or perhaps the more vocal members of White Girl, anyone leaning toward a political career? We see more and more women obviously getting involved in politics, and perhaps more and more conservative women getting involved in politics.
There's no one I know of that is actually going to be, that I know of that's going into running for office.
Mm-hmm.
People have joked that I should run for office. I said, no, I want to keep my sanity. But we do, like, on some of our members of the advisory board, for instance, Stephanie Birmingham is a conservative radio talk show host.
Oh, okay.
So she's already involved in conservative politics. Michelle Malkin, I know, writes conservative editorials for the newspaper. So some of them are already involved in politics. Like I said, I don't know of anybody that's running for office or is planning to yet.
Yeah. Yeah, being the operative word, perhaps?
Yes.
All right. You have so much on the website to offer, and again, it's writegirl, writegrrl.com. There's a very, very interesting article written by a young lady who is talking about violent crimes and asking the question, are all violent crimes hate crimes, or all violent crimes are hate crimes? And she talks about a 21-year-old who died October of 1998 as a result of a severe beating. This is, of course, the one that many of us have come to know as certainly what seems to be classified as a hate crime. How important is this aspect of Right Girl in the sense of taking on these controversial issues, because this is one that's quite controversial?
Mm-hmm. I think those issues are quite important, really, because, you know, there's something that a lot of people are faced with, and this particular issue brings in a lot of different things besides hate crime legislation, just hate crimes in general, discrimination. And I think issues that are really tough and very varied like this one are something that's really important to the site and something that really should be involved in.
Right. Now, of course, this deals with the young man who was apparently a homosexual or allegedly homosexual. Is it tougher for women's groups to take on those kinds of issues that deal specifically with men, although certainly homosexuality transcends gender once again, but we usually refer to gay lesbian, with the gay being the men and the lesbian being, of course, the women. But since this was a young man, does it take on a more difficult role for an organization like Right Girl to address issues that primarily would deal with men?
We haven't had a problem with that, really. And this issue, I don't even know you can see it really as a male issue, because I could see it happening to a female also. But we don't really have problems dealing with issues that might, you know, be kind of male-oriented. So I really don't see this as a male issue,
okay,
really.
So you can transcend any gender gaps there?
I'm sorry?
You can and do transcend any mm-hmm. gender gap in that regard?
Yes.
All right, let's pause again for a couple of minutes. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number, 1-800-825-5937. Carolyn Gargaro, co-founder of Right Girl, is online with us, and we will continue on the Jerry Hughes program from UBN. Right Girl, RightGrrl.com is the website. Carolyn Gargaro is co-founder of Right Girl, and she is online with us. We often hear the left talk about how that the internet is used by the right to promote its agenda, to propagandize and such. And I would submit that the only reason that the left says that is that they're envious of the advancements that have been made in that regard. How important is the internet to your organization?
Oh, it's extremely.
I mean, obviously, without it, yeah. But I mean, it has allowed you a voice that perhaps previously would have been unheard of.
Yeah, it really would have been very difficult to get our opinions out there. I mean, you can write letters to the editor, which mm-hmm. I've done. I even had an op-ed piece in my local newspaper, but that's very short-lived. That's one letter or one article, and it has a very limited audience. So unless you could somehow get into the mainstream media, you really don't have a way to get your opinions out there. And, of course, the mainstream media, you have to be well-known, and obviously they seem to prefer more liberal-oriented people. So the Internet's been great for getting lots of people to be able to get their opinions out there, especially the everyday person who doesn't have an outlet like some more well-known people do.
Now, you went on the net, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, you went on the net, what, April of 97?
Right, go, yes.
So you're mm-hmm. working on 2 years, April of 99, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of growth? Has it been sporadic? Has it been consistent?
It started out, well, it's been kind of consistent for since about maybe March of this year. We started out, and Stephanie and I were still trying to get our thoughts together on what we wanted to do with the site and what kind of sections we wanted to have. And so mm-hmm. it grew slowly from the beginning in April 97 to maybe about March 98. It did grow, but very slowly. We kind of took off after around March of this year mm-hmm. is when we really started to grow a whole lot. And over this summer, we expanded quite a bit. So it's been kind of like we had a jump in our growth this year.
May I ask, if it's not prying too greatly, may I ask, how is the site funded? Because it is, of course, an expensive proposition, or can be.
Well, it's funded by Stephanie and I. It helps because I work for an internet service provider.
Oh, okay.
And so they're very nice about letting me have web space.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps a lot. We do also sell T-shirts on the site, which is something we just started. So some of that profit, the small amount of profit we'll get from that, will go back into some of the website development.
Very good. I was trying to sneak in an opportunity for you to give a commercial there, if you'd like.
Yes, we have T-shirts available for anybody.
And, of course, the T-shirts can be obtained on-site. Are contributions accepted?
Well, sure, yeah.
If someone wanted to contribute, I mean, may I ask, are you a 501c3?
We're not really an official organization yet, but we would be, yes. We're not going to be, we are planning on getting nonprofit status. We're not mm-hmm. going to be a profit-making organization.
And quite honestly, I don't know whether it's good or bad nowadays to have the 501c3, because the government certainly seems to be clamping down on some of those organizations that are political in nature that have the C3. What would be, in your opinion, what would be the most blatant or the most remarkable misconception that women are that America would have about conservative women?
Probably that they're all very close-minded and are very close-minded and mean. I would say, and all they care about is mm-hmm. just that they're not interested in anything except maybe sitting home and taking care of their families. And when I say that, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with sitting home and taking care of your family. I really don't want to give the impression that I think that is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But people seem to think that they're just these women that are just home and they haven't been out in the world, so they don't know what's going on, and so they're conservative. And that's not true. I found that conservative women, the ones that are in the workforce, that are working at home with their children, because that is probably the toughest job that women have, is taking care of children. That doesn't mean that they're not aware of what's going on, or they're not intelligent, or they're not very informed on political issues. And I think that's a big misconception, that conservative women are conservative because they don't know what's going on.
Puritanical, prudish, naive?
That's something, yeah, that we're prudes, that we, you know, we don't want to have fun, you know, that we really don't know what it's like in the real world. That's some of the attitudes that we've gotten from people.
Why?
I think because
just
when you think of
from the old days.
Well, when you think of the women that are in the media a lot, like a lot of the women's organizations, mm-hmm. they're liberal,
mm-hmm.
and that's when you think of like today's woman, the 90s woman, and when they have the 90s women on TV, a great deal of them are liberal. And so you're thinking, okay, well, you have all these, you know, progressive 90s women and they're liberal, so the conservative ones, they're not out there. They must be, you know, stuffy and not know what's going on. And that's probably why people get that idea. I mean, if you look at Hollywood, most of the actresses there are liberal. If you look at the primary women's organizations, they get media attention, they're liberal. So people are going to think, well, where are the conservative women? Oh, well, they must just be home or not, you know, not being involved in politics or whatever.
We've had Ann Coulter on our program many times. Would she be good material for Right Girl?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now,
she's perfect.
All right. Now, let me throw that name out there. Now, let me ask you, name, if you will, one American media icon, woman icon, who is a Right Girl. And I don't mean in the sense that they've visited the site or they've signed on to anything, but as far as ideology, philosophy, and such is concerned, in your mind, you're a quote-unquote soulmate, if you will, to use the old term. One media icon, when we continue.
Okay.
Give you a couple minutes to think about it here. One person, Barbara Walters, who might it be? 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number, 1-800-825-5937. Right Girl, RightGrl.com. Here's the website. We will continue on the Jerry Hughes program from UBS. Co-founder of Right Girl, Carolyn Gargaro, is with us this hour, ladies and gentlemen. All right, a media icon or someone that we would recognize, if you had to point a finger and say, this lady represents what Right Girl is all about, is there anyone in the national media today?
Well, the first person that comes to mind, besides Ann Coulter, is Liddy Dole, is someone that came to mind as someone who seems to be along the lines of a Right Girl.
I'm talking about somebody who's in our homes every night putting forth their issues just like the liberals do.
Every night? That's kind of hard because, so I have to say, a lot of the people that are in our you know, living rooms every evening, some of them might not necessarily be promoting a liberal agenda necessarily. Like if they're on a, like something like 2020, like Barbara Walters.
Right.
She's in our living room every night, and some people might disagree with me, but I don't think that she's necessarily pushing, you know, liberalism. She might be liberal, but as for someone who's in our, on TV every night
or regularly.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Really hard for me to put a finger on one. Really hard.
and that tells us something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly tells us that it seems that only one side is given, or only one side is given access, which we touched on earlier, in the so-called establishment or mainstream media. Now, how do you overcome that? How do all those ladies who visit the Right Girl site, and men, as you said, it's just 50-50, how do those folks of a different mindset overcome something like that?
Well, I think the first thing to do is if you really would prefer to have a more conservative viewpoint expressed in the media, the first thing to do is to write to your local media. You might think, a lot of people think, well, it's just me. If I just write a letter, what's that going to do? Well, if everybody wrote a letter, that would do something. It, you know, we're not expecting to change the programming of all, you know, the media outlets, but it might make them consider that, well, there's this group of people that we're not really, you know, tailoring anything towards. So they might want to start focusing some areas of the media on that. If they see that there's a lot of people out there who want that point of view heard, if they don't hear from these people, then they're not going to really promote that, because they media is ratings driven. So if they have a group of people who want something, they're going to put it out there, if we're loud enough, I think. I just think it's a matter of really being loud and really being active, which I think that in some respects, I think liberals tend to be a little bit more active on some areas. I don't want people, don't send me hate mail, don't piss anybody. There are great conservative activists out there, but I think, you know, maybe it's because the conservative people aren't given the media attention, or maybe it's because we're just not loud enough and we just need to be more aggressive.
All right, we're down to our last minute. Knowing that your voice is being recorded for posterity from now and for all of time, going to put you on the spot here. As a representative of Right Girl, tell me what's going to happen to Bill Clinton in the Senate.
Well,
if you're wrong, we're going to call you up and play it back down the phone.
Okay, well, I don't think there's enough votes to kick him out of office. On the small chance, they said that if the people actually went to the evidence room and examined the evidence, that is what turned a lot of the moderate Republicans around to vote for impeachment, that if the people in the Senate did the same thing, that there might be the votes to remove him from office. I don't think that will happen. What I think will happen is that they will start the trial, because I think constitutionally they have to. And I think both sides want to come to some kind of agreement. And I believe that there will probably be some sort of censure handed down after the trial has started. That is something that is a very good possibility of happening. Okay.
Well, ma'am, I have truly enjoyed the hour. It has flown by. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Absolutely.
And thank you very, very much again. Rightgirl, RightGrl.com. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carolyn Gargaro, co-founder of Rightgirl. And, wow, we appreciate her being with us today. As well as we appreciate you being with us. And affiliates, thank you. Rock and Robin, thank you. And Dan, thank you. I'm Jerry Hughes for UBN. God save the Republic of the United States of America.